Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, May 25th, 2026, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 40, the first paragraph. We heard no more of Fred for a while, through the one paragraph ending with, yet was flat on his back nevertheless, comments on one paragraph. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, for the 12 Steps, Robin P., 12 Traditions, Michelle M., Reading the Text are Jason K.P. and Lynn F. The newcomer greeter is Penny C., and the host of the second hour is Hannah Yetta R. The reference number for Sunday, May 24th, special edition, is 23,485. That's 23485. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Robin P. to read the 12 Steps. Robin, star one.
Hi, thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. One, we admitted we are powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God, as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin. I will now ask Michelle M. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, everyone. This is Michelle M. in Arizona. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except your speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 40, the paragraph. We heard no more of Fred for a while through that one paragraph ending with, yet was flat on his back nevertheless. Comments on the one paragraph. And I will ask Jason K.P. to begin reading.
Good morning, Jason K.P. We heard no more of Fred for a while. One day we were told that he was back in the hospital. This time he was quite shaky. He soon indicated he was anxious to see us. The story he told is most instructive, for here was a chap absolutely convinced he had to stop drinking, who had no excuse for drinking, who exhibited splendid judgment and determination in all his other concerns, yet was flat on his back nevertheless. You know, Bill tells us this idea that when it comes to alcohol, we're strangely insane. And Bill's giving us some vignettes here. He's giving us these illustrations and real life examples. What's he trying to do? He's trying to teach or instruct us. So he's trying to bring home this concept that the real alcoholic cannot stop on the basis of self-knowledge. And that's how he kind of sets up this story with the writing in italics early on. So Fred sets off, thank you very much for the information, the humiliated experience, and the knowledge he has will keep him sober. And the subtext as I read all of this is, how am I like Fred? How is this truth, this instruction that Bill Wilson is giving us in this book, really relevant to my life? And we're really on step one here. We're really trying to understand the nature of the disease, the symptoms, the mental states, the how we go about this wrong, how we fall into these traps, the functioning of our alcoholic brains. So how am I like Fred, right? How did I think, you know, if I just had this knowledge, how many diet books, how many self-help books did I have? How many times did I try to hypnotize myself and meditate myself and therapize myself into some state where I could be sufficiently on guard and remember the consequences so that I could not eat compulsively? And I constantly doubted this thought of, am I a real compulsive eater, right? And for me, I had all these reasons, just like him, to stop drinking, the horror and the pain and the suffering and the shame, the weight and heaviness of shame in my life was just suffocating. And I couldn't stop, but there was this thing in me for a long time, you know, and I came to my first meeting when I was 20, but I only recovered when I was 37. And there was a subtle thing that I think Fred has here that I had for a long time, which was, I got this. Now, repeated failure and experience of suffering made me teachable. And on September 22nd, 2017, something happened and I was surrendered and I was teachable. I stopped asking that question, am I a real compulsive eater? Do I belong here? Maybe, maybe not. And I was willing to go to any lengths. And if we accept the diagnosis, we can accept the solution to work a spiritual path, to work a spiritual program. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Jason. On page 40, the first paragraph, we heard no more of Fred. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So the weekend doesn't count. If you didn't share last Thursday or Friday, you may share this morning. So who would like to share? I would like first
Lisa B. In South Carolina.
Lisa B.
S. From Oregon.
Liz S. Who else?
Lynn F.
Robin P. in Tennessee.
Robin P.
Lynn F.
I got you, Lynn. Thank you. I have Lisa B., Liz S., Lynn F., and Robin P. We can take a few more in the first lineup.
Vasa O.
Vasa O. Okay, let's go with those five. Lisa B., Liz S., Lynn F., Robin P., and Vasa. Oh, go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, good morning, Kate. Thank you so much, Katie, for your service. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in South Carolina. And thank you, Jason, for that lead. What really stands out for me in this reading is compulsive overeating, like alcoholism. That's been the great persuader to me. I know from my own experience that before I'm willing to do what I need to do, I have to be persuaded over and over again that I have a problem and that I need a solution. And the paragraph before this one, like Jason referred to, you know, Fred seems so convinced that he's learned his lesson. He believes this difficult situation has taught him enough and that he's got the knowledge, insight, and determination. He's ready to move on. But what stands out to me is what I drew, and I really relate to that, is that knowledge alone, it just wasn't enough. And I love the phrase, he was anxious to see us. And I'm so grateful for the us. I'm so grateful, you know, when I listen to this meeting and the strong recovery and the continuous hope that I can do this. You know, I can continue to do this. I can be abstinent. I can do it happily. I can have neutrality. And so I'm grateful for the us. And he means that he wanted to see them. He was eager to talk to them because something had happened that made him realize he needed help. And the confidence he had in himself just wasn't working anymore. And I really relate to that. And he was convinced, you know. So the other thing I wanted to share about is that if I could maintain abstinence, you know, on my own, I wouldn't need this problem. And that really, abstinence is not the solution. You know, that's the whole problem. And the men in this story, they weren't offering Fred more willpower or more self-knowledge. They were presenting him with a solution that would treat the problem of staying abstinent. And I think about what I don't know. That a miracle, an absolute miracle, is being presented to me that is going to change my life and make it better than I ever thought possible. But when I'm sitting there, you know, like where Fred is before he's willing, doesn't get it. And I can hear that, you know, with people when I talk to them on the phone. But it's not a program of promotion, you know, it's a program of living my life, you know, not promoting and letting the principles show through me. So the solution is the spiritual awakening that's described in the steps. And I'm reunited with my creator, and I find peace in that relationship. And the program offers me not just a way to put down the food, but a way to address the restlessness, the irritability, and the discontentment that drives me back to the food in the first place. When I'm spiritually connected, I don't have to keep looking for relief in compulsive overeating because I'm finding that peace and comfort in my relationship with my higher power. And this reading really helps me remember that determination and intelligence are valuable, but they're just not enough. And thank you for the yes. So I pass.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, Liz S., you're up, followed by Lynn F.
Hi, this is Liz S. from Oregon, a recovered compulsive eater. Katie, thank you. You do so much for this meeting. Thank you for your service. And Jason, that was a wonderful lead-in to having the rest of us share. I was hit by the little part of the last sentence that said, who had no excuse for drinking? Now here's somebody, excuse me, looking at Fred from the outside and says, he's got this, he has determination, he has success, he has this, 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 and all these externals. But it doesn't talk about what's going on inside Fred. And but this is, I think, a sign of the times about when this book was written. I think we have more understanding that it's an inside job now. Maybe in a different, way, it's still a spiritual solution, just like it was back in Bill's time. But we also understand that, as I think Jason said, we could therapize ourselves. That's not going to be the solution. The solution is finding the connection to our higher power, to something that gives us more strength than we could have had, that manifests itself in outside possessions. It manifests itself in inner peace and inner serenity and in understanding that I am part of a larger whole. I am part of us, as I think it was Lisa just said. And it used to be when I was raised that it was important to set myself apart from other people, to be, quote, better, close quote, than other people. And I really tried to do that. And it's now a very interesting process to pull that down, that scaffolding or whatever, down, and to find the core and to find my creator and to find my happiness and my peace and my serenity through allowing.
That's time, myself, Liz.
Thank you, Katie. Through allowing myself to be in the middle of the herd where I will happily stay and I pass.
Okay, thank you so much. Lynn F., you're up, followed by Robin P.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, everyone. This is Lynn F., recovered in Pennsylvania. Grateful to be sharing on the line this morning. For me, this illuminates yet another way in which the disease shows up, right? Cunning, baffling, and powerful. And we're seeing how Fred thought he could think his way out of this spiritual malady. And we'll go on to read some more paragraphs outlining his struggle, and the solution at the bottom of 43 is, spoiler alert, his defense must come from a higher power. I have no ability to connect with my higher power in my disease, in my own thinking, and in my own way, just like Fred. And I could perhaps strain for a bit to get through something, but my ability to live life, to recover, to have a day of neutrality comes from my connection with my higher power. As indicated in the story, nothing works, right? It sounds like it does. It sounds like a good idea. And the humiliation and the complete defeat is what I need to get my attention. That's someone has said once before me, way before me, you know, my own best thinking earned me a seat in Overeaters Anonymous. And that's true for me today. And without a spiritual solution and without a God of my understanding, I'm doomed. And where do I find it, right? I find it here. I find it with fellows. I find it working in sponsorship with folks that have had the spiritual malady improved one day at a time. When I look at the book, I identify in a few pages ahead of this with the bedevilments. Those were me. You know, the bedevilments are where I lived most of my adult life. And this program unpacks the spiritual malady to give me a life worth living, to give me a life where I am connected with God, where I do wake up ahead of time, ahead of where I'm needed in life to connect with my higher power, where I'm more than willing to open up this book and show another person who is suffering how I am doing it one day at a time. And for me, I was able to share with someone yesterday about the promises and how they come true. And that's not very far. I've said it before. It's not many pages between 52 and 83, the directions and the reality of the freedom of food neutrality.
That's time, Lynn.
Yep. Thanks, Katie. I'm here, and I am interested in what you all have to say. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lynn. Robin P., you're up, followed by Vasa O., and then we will open it up for more shares on page 40, the first paragraph.
Good morning again. I'm Robin P., gratefully recovered in Tennessee. Thanks again, Katie, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. Thank you, Jason, for your start. That's awesome. You know, I just was thinking, it just takes what it takes, and that self-knowledge avails me nothing. You know, I had so much self-knowledge, and I also had so much denial, and denial always won until I just hit bottom. And I just always pray, you know, for people when they haven't hit bottom yet, just please God, help them to hit bottom as quickly as it's your will, you know, and because that it just takes what it takes. And I'm always surprised, you know, like, okay, that's the bottom. Oh, that's got to be the bottom. Oh, you know, and it just takes what it takes, you know. And I was thinking that faith without works is dead, you know. And but also, works without faith can also be deadly. Like, you know, it's both ways. I just get to have a faith walk no matter what I'm doing, working these steps, living in them, and being a blessing to God and my fellows as much as I can. And, you know, somebody said to me the other day, he said, you and your husband are angels. You just show up and do things for people, and God uses you as angels. And I thought, that's so interesting. That's the program in action, because that would have been the last thing on my mind. It wouldn't have even occurred to me before I came into these rooms. I was just, food was my God, and I was its slave, and I had no. And it was just like, take me to your leader. And it's literally like that thing about being rocketed into the fourth dimension. I have food neutrality today, but even if, God forbid, I didn't, I still have so much support and such a no. You know, I know it's the disease. And that, because I'm living in a spiritual program, you know, and I turn my will and my life over to the care of God, and I pray only for knowledge of his will from him, the power to carry that out, I have a chance today to live a spiritual life instead of a life of doom and gloom and depression and isolation. And, you know, I always say to myself, you know, isolation and illness begin with I.
And wellness begins with we. And the more we I have in my life, the better I do. So God bless all of you we's out there. Thank you for being part of my we. And I'm so grateful for this meeting and for all of you and for God. God bless you all with a really blessed abstinent day. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Okay, Vasa O, you're up. Then we'll open it up for more shares.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Katie, for your service. I am Vasa O, recovered compulsive overeater, in, living in Foxborough, Massachusetts. And my addiction didn't kick in. Till I was 15 years old, and I came in the program, I was 41 years old. So as a child, we grew up in a poor country. We didn't have all the junk food that they call today, the sweets and stuff. So when we came in America, we had to make up the time, you know, from lost years not having the stuff. And I gained 20 pounds in 1 month. So that I was 15 years old when we came to this country, and that's when I started hanging around with girls that wanted to be thin, and started watching the models in Sears and Roebuck catalog, and I wanted to be like them. And I did everything I could in those years to lose and gain. Twiggy, I remember years ago there was a girl named Twiggy. I think she was anorexic or bulimic. And everybody wanted to be thin. And that's when it started. And I didn't over the years. So there was nothing more that I wanted by the time I came to my first meeting to lose the weight. I had got engaged, got married, bought a house, had the children. It seemed everything was okay from the outside, but I struggled with the food addiction. I was slave to it for 25 years of my life until I came to the program. And I did I had no problem admitting I was powerless because I took the test also. Nobody had to convince me. And I was at my bottom when I came. And I was ready and willing to surrender to a power greater than myself, which I call God today, and surrender to the program. So grateful for my sponsor that taught me that she came from AA, and I started with Big Book myself, and I read all the stories, all the book from the beginning to the end, not in one day. I wanted the recovery, and I wanted to see what these people were doing to recover. And this is what I've been doing, one day at a time, one meal at a time, with the food. And then gradually my life and my will, surrender with the food and everything gradually. I'm so grateful I have found this program. And my sponsor said, to keep what we have to give it away. And this is my goal to do. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa. Okay, so if you're just joining us, we are on page. Okay, everything's beeping at me. We're on page 40, the first paragraph. We heard nothing, no more of Fred for a while, reading through that one paragraph. So if you haven't shared since last Wednesday, who would like to share?
Leah S.
Leah S. You'd think it was a holiday or something. No one's here. Speaking up. Okay, go ahead, Leah, and then we'll. I'm sorry?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B, okay. Thank you, Bonnie.
And Michelle M.
Michelle M.
Cheryl L.
Michelle M. Cheryl M.
I guess okay. Cheryl L.
I did. So I have Leah S., Bonnie B., Michelle M., and Cheryl L. Anyone else want to jump in there before I close this group?
Esther K.
Who K?
Esther K.
Esther K?
Yes.
Okay.
And Nicole J.
Nancy C.
And Nicole J.
Nancy C.
Okay, that's a good lineup. Leia S., Bonnie B., Michelle M., Cheryl L., Esther K., Nicole J., Nancy C. Go ahead, please, Leia.
So much. Thank you. Such a beautiful meeting, and all of you guys. My name is Leia S., and I'm recovered and so grateful in Brooklyn, New York. Okay, so for those of you who are in suspense, Fred did recover. But like Fred, myself, I really had my pride. I know how to do this. I really know how to do this. I mean, I've been on so many diets. You don't even know how many diets I did, and I know how to do it. Well, the honest truth is that he was flat on his back nevertheless, and I was also always giving in, and I had a built-in forgetter. I didn't understand what I was doing wrong. And the truth of the matter is that when Bill starts introducing his story, he talks about the shame that he had, and he got up in front of a church, and he admitted his wrongs, and he thought, he literally gave himself over to the audience and also wanted, you know, all of you guys to say, I'm a bad person, I got drunk, and I got this, and I got that, and I'm a bad person, Leia, because I ate so many quantities of this cake or that pie or whatever, and I can't stop it. It's so stupid. And what happened? In humility, in understanding, you actually get the courage. You actually get that kind of feeling that you don't own and you don't know everything that you don't know. And it's God that is the one that is directing you. It's just impossible. It doesn't even make sense, the kind of compulsive overeater that I was. And today, I look at it as a beautiful picture. It's not for my body. It just grows on you. It grows on you. Keep consistently doing it all the time, and you'll see beautiful miracles. They just do come. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leia S. from Brooklyn. Okay, Bonnie B., you're up, followed by Michelle M.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Katie, for moderating. Thank you for all the shares. They're amazing. Bonnie B., living in Minnesota, but a resident of Florida. So this, to me, when I read this, when I read these different stories, I think about my experience, and it just sort of took what it took. I came into this program wanting to fix a problem, and the problem was the fact that I couldn't stay at the same body size that I wanted to stay at. And truth be told, it was completely out of control. But I came into it looking for, working on the symptom and not understanding that I had to get down to the cause and the condition of what it was. It was not the number on the scale. It was not the pant size. It was the lack of my ability to release this thing I call life into the loving care of my creator, who I happen to call God. And that was also very perplexing to me because I came in as a Christian woman. I thought I had this. I really thought I had this. And I will lead into that I thought I had this by just saying, you know, Fred is me. Because if you look at this page and the next page, references 55 times to the word I, me, and my. I came in with all of these, but I think I know what to do, and I have an idea, and like everyone else, I had every book on the shelf you could have, and I memorized all the references I could memorize, and I joined all the groups you could join, and I wasn't dealing with the issue. I was dealing with the symptom. I was dealing with the thing that was on top of it. and I came to understand in this program, and I am so blessed. Oh, my word, I am so blessed to be recovered today. Living a life I could never, ever have imagined is that it has nothing to do with the pant size of the number on the scale. It's my emotional sobriety. It's the ability to be able to turn all things back over to God in that third step. It's the gift of being able to figure out what it is by working a 10th step. It's never what it appears to be. It's my perception of it. I can't see that until I can see it. And there was a progression for me. And I sort of find that with other people too. You can't get here until the light bulbs go off and it takes coming back over and over and over. But it does begin with, I'm out of ideas. So I will pass with that. And again, thanks everyone. Blessings to you all.
Thank you, Bonnie B. in Minnesota from Florida. Okay, Michelle M., you're up, followed by Cheryl L.
Good morning. This is Michelle M., recovered in Arizona. And I have been thinking about sharing on this, and I was like, no. And then I felt this nudge. I just felt that nudge, you know, and I know when I have to feel the nudge to do it. And one of the things about this that I really relate to that has really bubbled to the surface for me as I've worked the steps just to a more realistic level, a couple of things, is that I grew up with overachievers and knowledge is power. I can't tell you how many times I heard that growing up. You know, knowledge is power. It's all about how it looks on the outside. And how that affected me was I became really smart, really, really scholarly to try to change the way I was feeling about myself. And what I've learned is that no matter what I did to try to get people to like me, to approve me, to validate me, if I could just change the way they thought. Well, here's the deal with that, is that people never see me the way I want them to see me. They see me the way I see me. And I saw me as, you know, terminally flawed, unworthy, unloving, you know, everything. You know, and that quest for the validation, you know, and I look at Fred, and so I'm seeing myself, you know, as flawed, but people on the outside are thinking, man, she's got her shit together. She's got it all. None of that mattered, because until I accept the truth, until I take ownership and of what's really going on with me, it doesn't matter what other people think, because I can never change it. You know, so here I am, finally to the point in my life through working the steps, with relapse, coming back, is that I'm just learning on a daily basis about higher power, being a part of, being of service. I used to think that I can't be of service because no one would care what I had to share. I don't fit in. I'm not worthy enough. And so the only way that I can work on that is practice the positive opposite and to do it. And, you know, I didn't have a blinding light. I didn't have that. You know, I don't change because I see the light. I change because my ass is on fire and I'm heading to a marble slab. And that's where I was going. And so one more time, it was, I felt the nudge. I need to pick up a phone. And I picked up a phone. And then it was just doing the next right thing. And, you know, I'm still evolving in my relationship with God. But I believe today, I've never felt more a part of this group than I have in the last couple of weeks. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle M. from Arizona. Cheryl L., you're up, followed by Esther K.
Good morning. This is Cheryl L. calling from Florida this morning. Grateful to be with you all. I really so identify with Fred, and I identify with a lot of the shares this morning. I felt that nudge. Boy, did I try my own willpower. Boy, did I try a human power for such a long, long time, even into this recovery. It's not like a switch. It's not like, okay, here I am, I'm in the program now, I'm working the steps, and poof, all of a sudden, everything is going swimmingly, and I'm working with my higher power. It took what it took, you know, and it was a couple of years into this recovery before I really started to understand that it was not me that was doing this, that it was a God of my understanding, and that in order for me to know the next right thing, to know that I have this disease and it's not going away, and that I have a power, and that power is God, I had to really lean into this idea. You know, all of the story in here about Fred talks about self-knowledge, talks about, you know, all of the human ways in which he tried to take care of himself, he tried to recover, you know, by fixing everything on the outside. I did that. I was fixing everything on the outside. Everything looked great. You know, if you looked at me, you would never know that there was an issue with my inside. Or maybe you would. It didn't really matter. All that mattered was that I was holding on to life with a clenched fist. And until I learned to open up that clenched fist, until I learned to let go and let God direct me on a day-by-day basis and on an hour-by-hour basis, there was not going to be recovery for me. There was not going to be peace of mind. There was not going to be, you know, a way forward that truly worked for me. And so I am Fred, and I continue to work to be the opposite of Fred. Thank you.
Oops. Thank you so much. Cheryl L. from Florida. Esther K., you're up, followed by Nicole J., and we should have time for everyone. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Esther K. from Georgia.
Thank you. Go ahead, Esther. Esther, star one. Okay, Nicole, are you available? And we'll come back to Esther.
Hi, I'm yes. Esther K.
Okay, go ahead,
now
Esther.
Now you can hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for all your shares. I feel like I'm like Jim right now. I have everything to be looking for, but I'm going through very extreme radiation right now, and my body is totally knocked down. It's so beautiful to be able to understand that it's okay not to feel okay, and I don't have to be, it's okay not to please everybody, and I need to take care of my body first. Even though there's a lot of rocks in the on the way, and it takes one day at a time. For me right now, it's taking 1 minute at a time because I'm so tired that sometimes I don't have even energy to getting out of bed. But looking for recovering and working the recovery and talking to people and talking to my sponsor and not feeling alone, that is how I can recover. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Okay, thank you, Esther K. from Georgia. Nicole J., you're up, followed by Nancy C., and then we should have time for one more burning desire.
Hi, it's Nicole J. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Great. Good morning, Nicole. Recovered in Virginia. I am so grateful. I'm listening to all the shares and looking at what it says here. This is a chap absolutely convinced he had to stop drinking. He had no excuse. He had great judgment, determination. He was flat on his back, nevertheless. And I think that when I have gotten to a point many times in this program since I came in, where I have thought, I get it. I am convinced. I am powerless over this disease. I will not stop eating by myself. I will not stop all the different habits and behaviors that go with that. And yet I will wind up, you know, flat on my back. And recently I haven't been flat on my back, but I've just been having, you know, like I've been not being clean with the food. And there's a food item that I've just struggled to let go of. And, you know, I'm like, hey, this is an abstinent food, but I'm too attached to it. And anyway, I had my moment this weekend of just understanding again that I am powerless and I don't have any like long-term immunity. I don't have any, you know, like this is going to be gone forever. I get a daily reprieve and I have to keep working it. And the dishonesty, it creeps in so secretively, so just, you know, I don't see it coming. That's the scary part. And I can be here and I can be doing the work and I can be, you know, sponsoring and I can be getting on the meetings and it can slip in. It does. This is what happens to me. It's never like I go binge. It's always these little, like, death by a million little cuts, you know, not doing my prayer meditation in the morning because I got to go work out, not, you know, not getting on the meeting, listening to half the meeting, you know, not weighing all the food, weighing part of it. I wish that it was just like one and done, but that's not the way it is. And I'm grateful that I'm not relapsed, you know, but I just want to live in the light. And my story so far has been that I spend a lot of time in the light, but there are the dark moments. And that's just the reality of the disease. And I don't want to tell you guys that, but that's the reality. Even when I said I'm recovered, I'm like, am I still recovered? I am grateful to be here today because self-knowledge doesn't fix anything for me. And I'm like a brainiac. I want to think everything out. And the reality is that it can't be thought out. It just never has worked for me. My solution is spiritual because my disease is spiritual. And God is always going to be powerful enough to help me. And I just have to put my faith in that. And today I do put my faith in that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole. Okay, Nancy C., you're up.
Hey, good morning, KD. Good morning, everyone. Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And great meeting and great shares. When there's silence on the share line, you go, huh, okay, what is the next paragraph that everyone wants to share on? But, you know, I was really taken by all of the shares today, starting with Jason. And when I first read the big book, none of these characters, Fred, Jim, DJ Walker, none of those people had anything to do with me. They were stupid stories that I just had to read. And now I look at Fred and I'm like, I am so Fred because I tried every single way I could imagine to get my eating under control, every diet, every new gimmick that was out, every pill. And it always worked until it didn't, right? And when I got touched with the bug of recovery through 12 steps, I was interested, and thank you very much for the information, but I had to go out and do my own thing. And I laugh at the thing that he had no excuse for drinking. Hell, I had every excuse for eating there was in a book because I forgot that once I start eating, I can't stop. I had no idea of what that was, but, you know, I'm happy, I'm sad, I got a promotion, I had a good deal, I don't like you. Whatever the reason was, I always had an excuse to pick up And today I know that those excuses are not valid anymore, but in my mind they were. The other thing that's important to me is hearing that the fellowship left Fred alone. You know, I give people information. If I don't hear from them, I don't hear from them. But when God is ready to have them take that message, they come back, and they come back and they are willing, open, and honest. And that's where Fred was. That's where I had to be to realize that deep down inside me, there was a God who loved me, and that on my own, I couldn't do anything. So a lot of times if you're new and you come in and you go out and you come in and go back, just keep coming back. We're waiting with open arms for you. And if you're in and you think you want to walk out, call somebody and say, this is what I'm thinking, because we all think the same way. And I can always come up with any excuse if I don't go to my God first and say, is this really an excuse? Is this plausible? Because today, self-knowledge doesn't help me. It's God knowledge that does. And thanks for letting me share, Katie. Everyone have a happy Memorial Day. Thank you to everyone who served. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay, we have time for one more share. Who would like to take that spot?
Deborah S.
Go ahead, Deborah.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Deborah S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. So here he was back in the hospital. They haven't heard from him for a little while. So he was doing his own thing. Because he said, you know, I hear what you're saying. I'm interested. I might have some of those symptoms, but I'm not there. You know, I could do this thing on my own. And he wasn't willing to accept, listen to them. He said, you know, but the spiritual remedy, he was not interested in that. So he's going to do it by himself. And yet he's back again. And he realized that, you know, there's something here. You know, he went out there experimenting, saw, you know, that maybe there is some kind of allergy over here. I can't stop after one. And the obsession, and he saw, you know, he was experiencing it. You know, when you get that knowledge, you know, nobody likes to be told, you know, what the problem is, because we all think that we know it all. That I know for myself, you know, I know how to do this thing. I've been on diets my whole life. So you're going to tell me that it's an allergy of the body, obsession of the mind, and you know. But that's what it takes. A lot of going out there, trying it over and over again. It's not going to work. And then I came crawling in here, like I've heard someone say, with tombstones in my eyes, because, you know, what I got wasn't working. And I needed the solution here. So, you know, thank you, God, today. I know that it's knowing that I have this double whammy, an allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind, plus the spiritual remedy, which I need to do every single day, invite God in, lean on God, trust God, and to take care of himself, to take care of me. You know, the other day I came back, I was away for the holiday, and I came back. I was in the car for 7 hours. Other people in the car were just eating, you know, that's what we do on a road trip. We eat, that's, you know, we always did that, right? I always did that. And what a miracle. I wasn't into that. I was not, you know, I had my lunch with me. We sang, we had fun. I had fun, whatever. But the food was not going to get me home. And I'm so grateful that I'm living in the solution today. And I don't have to look anymore. That's it, because I was always looking for the better way. This is the better way. For me, this is the last house on the block. This is where I belong. And I'm grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Deborah. Okay, well, we are very close to 7:55, so I will now ask, thank you to everyone who shared, and please join us for a second hour, unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And the share ID for today, Monday, May 25th, 7 a.m. meeting, is 23,486. That's 23486. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lynn F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Katie. It's Lynn F., page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. That your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. And